You're listening to Muse Live, anytime, any place, any show. Featuring the one and only Muse.
Thanks for tuning into Muse Live. I'm your host, Thomas Hunt. And if you're wondering where we've been, my internet has been out for a couple days now. And it just got back up, and so I've been able to watch Loki Episode 4 and Loki Episode 5 now. And I am recording this 2 days before Wednesday, the day before the episode drops, or the day that the episode drops. So I'm not sure when this will come out. It might come out Tuesday night. Then usually it comes out the night before the episode drops. So you guys are more likely to find it. Also, that's just how long it takes to edit all this stuff and all the raw material and kind of make it into the podcast that you guys know and hopefully listen to and enjoy. So I am back. I didn't want to take this long of a break, but my internet was down, and I am back now. So the way I'm going to be doing this is we're going to go over what happened in these episodes, so kind of the plot for the two episodes, and I'm going to go into theories and final predictions for who is the big bad behind all of this. Let's get into it. All right, and now it's time for the Loki Episode 4. Recap of what happened in this episode. So, essentially, we open with Loki and Sylvie sitting on, I can't remember the name of the planet, sitting on the planet, sitting on the moon that's having a planet crash into it, which is some trope subversion. Usually it's you're sitting on a planet and you have the moon crashing into it for disaster movies, but this time you have a planet crashing into the moon. So take that, big budget disaster movies. Anyway, so Loki and Sylvie are kind of, you know, getting ready to die, so they hold hands and all that, and then the TVA doors open and we cut to them being dragged through the TVA and they are separated. Loki is our Loki is interviewed by Mobius. Mobius sits down. He's mad at him because Loki betrayed him. And Sylvie is basically put in a room and no one's to see her. So Mobius interviews Loki. Loki essentially tells Mobius that he is, the TV is lying to him. And Mobius just kind of laughs it off because, you know, Loki has been lying to him for the whole series, about, you know, 50 different lies every 2 minutes is pretty much the average for Loki. So Loki gets put into like this strange, like cycle of bad memories over and over and over again. So he's sent through, Lady Sif catching him, or finding him after he cut off her hair. And this is actually a crazy reference to Norse mythology when Loki in the Norse comics cuts off Sif's hair. Sif comes over and she's, I don't remember the exact quote, and she said it like 15 times, so I should absolutely know it. Something like, you scum. You something scum, you did this, you are alone, you always will be, something like that, or you deserve to be alone, you always will be, and then kicks him in the nuts, or slaps him in the face and then kicks him in the nuts, which is a wonderful combo. Anyway, so that's on loop over and over and over again, and it seems, and some people were criticizing it because Loki was, didn't really like try and block it. He did try and block it. It seems like he's stuck to repeat that loop over and over again, so there's not much that he can do to block it. He's actively trying to, and you can see that in Tom Hiddleston's acting, but it seems like there's something holding him back from being able to block it, which is an interesting little detail I don't think many people noticed. And usually I only stick to plot-driven Easter eggs. I just thought this was a lot of people were nitpicking on this. It was actually kind of it wasn't verbally explained, but if you look closely, you would see the reason why. And so eventually Mobius comes and gets him, but not before Loki comes up with this whole confession, and he explains to Sif that he craves attention, and that's why he does things, and that it wasn't funny, and basically apologizes for the whole thing, this real heartfelt thing. And then she pulls him up and again tells him he is alone and he always will be. He basically like confesses that he does this thing for attention because he's afraid of being alone. So she tells him that he is alone, he always will be, and then stalks off. And this time Mobius comes out of the corridor. And by the way, it was really crazy because we know none of us were expecting to see Sif back in here. So it was really cool to see her back. So we see Sif back here, and then Mobius comes out, and he basically gets Loki over here, and they talk about how what he means that the TVA is lying to him. And Loki eventually comes out and reveals that they're all variants. Everyone in the TVA wasn't created by the Timekeepers. They were stolen from their timelines, had their memories erased, and that they're all variants. And so he tries to appeal to Mobius, saying maybe you had a family, you had a life, maybe you had a family. And Mobius still doesn't believe him. And so he tells Loki to get thrown back in there. And Loki essentially tells him that he's out of all the liars in the TVA, he's the biggest. Mobius is the biggest. And I'm actually skipped over one part. Mobius tells Loki that Sylvie is dead, and then Mobius figures out that that Loki likes Sylvie, and there's this funny exchange. And I'm going to try and quote it and do it in the Owen Wilson voice. So here goes. Here's my best attempt. You colossal narcissist. You fell for yourself. That is twisted. That is sick. That could break reality. That is dangerous. It's breaking my reality right now. Something like that. It's breaking my reality right now. I'm sorry. Owen Wilson's voice is just so fun. So he figures that out, and then Mobius reveals to her that Sylvie wasn't actually pruned, she's still alive for now. And then Mobius and Loki tells him that they're all variants. Loki gets sent back in. He tells Mobius that he's the biggest liar of all in the TVA, and not because he lied about Sylvie, that he can understand, but that he lies to himself. Sick burn, awesome, nice, good job. And he gets sent back into the red portal, which I will talk about later. You know me and Miss Minutes. I go crazy over red whenever I see red. It's Miss Minutes. It's not Mephisto. It's Miss Minutes. And I'm probably gonna be wrong about it. If red Miss Minutes does show up, though, I'm going to lose my mind. Anyway, I'll talk about that later. And Mobius, Mobius is pondering this over, and he thinks it over. He goes over to Ravonna Renslayer. The two of them sign the contract closing the case with the pen from, I think it was Franklin D. Roosevelt High School or something like that. Who, Franklin D. Roosevelt, by the way, I'm not a fan of. He did a lot of things that I'm not a fan of. Anyway, I'm sorry, I don't know why I felt the need to interject that. Just not a fan of Franklin D. Roosevelt. So she sends it with that pen. It was cool, little Easter egg. They're still using that. I think that's the pen is going to have some part to play in later. Maybe Ravonna taught at that school or something. Maybe she's a teacher. She does kind of seem like a teacher figure, but for some reason, she seems like that to me. Anyway, Mobius tricks her into, he feels like there's something off. Ravonna earlier had told him, and I skipped this part. I missed it. I'm sorry. It's just so much information. I'm trying to process it all. Ravonna tells him that that C20 is dead, and that she like lost her mind and then died. And Mobius doesn't get his wow in this series so far. Owen Wilson hasn't gotten in a wow, but he does get in a how, which is close enough. Although at the end of the series, we do need to see him riding a jet ski and going wow, or people will riot even more so than all they already are. That was That's going to get me canceled. Okay, so Mobius is suspicious, and he my man Mobius steals Ravonna's temp pad, and distracts her, tells her to go hang up, or he asks her where she's going to hang up the Sylvie's sword as a trophy, and he sneaks the temp pad and switches him. Sneaky Mobius. And so once he does that, he sneaks off to the library, or filing section of the library, the place where Loki was doing his paperwork before, hilariously, along with Mobius. They were trying to find disasters in an earlier episode. Anyway, so and he watches the video, and he finds out that C-20 was actually still perfectly fine, was able to speak coherent, and that she was telling Ravonna and all the others that they were all variants, because when because when Sylvie kind of like searched her mind to try and find out where the timekeepers were, she unlocked suppressed memories of her life before when she was a variant, before she was kidnapped by the TVA. And keep in mind that she also messed with B-15 and inhabited B-15's body, so that could have brought up some suppressed memories in B-15's mind. More on that later. And so Mobius finds this out, and then he zooms in, and Ravonna Renslayer is in the background shutting off the video, and so it's bombshell for him, because I mean that rocks his whole world. He is a variant. He found out his best friend was lying to him. Ravonna says that she's just trying to protect him, and she's worried about him. And for good reason, because now he is in the center of danger. So he goes back and runs back to Loki and frees him from the bad memory cycle. And Loki's trying to play mind games with him, and Mobius just gets fed up with him, and I love that. He's like, "Shut up!" It's definitely a highlight. He's like, "Shut up! No, seriously." So he and Loki have a heart to heart, and they're bros, you know, they're buddies, and so they go off to go save Sylvie and destroy the TVA and free everyone. And as soon as they step out of the bad memory portal, Renslayer's right there. And they're trapped. Mobius is standing there, and he realizes that he has no way out. And so he sacrifices himself. He gives himself up. I can't do justice to this. My man Mobius, he deserves a proper send-off. So I'm going to play the clip for the first time ever on this podcast. I'm going to play a clip from the show, just audio, but you can hear the final moments of my man Mobius.
You know where I go if I could go anywhere? Wherever it is I'm really from. And wherever I had a life before the TVA came along. Maybe I had a jet ski. That's what I'd like to do. Just riding around on my jet ski.
Prune him.
And that is how my man Mobius goes out. So Loki is tearfully dragged away, and Tom Hiddleston's face at the end of this just sells this so much. Looks like he lost a family member, man. He just gets in the feels. Rest in peace, Mobius. True legend. So, after Mobius is gone, Loki and Sylvie are taken to the Timekeepers for their execution, because the Timekeepers want to watch. Now, they are taken to this chamber, and I have talked about the whole man in the curtain, my man behind the curtain thing, and how the timekeepers are going to be the whole Wizard of Oz thing, and a lot of parallels to the Wizard of Oz. There's literally green smoke when they open up the elevator door and they come out. And there's the bunch of like blue armored guards that are guarding the TVA, or guarding the timekeepers. The timekeepers are. They're very alien looking. One of them looks like the Lorax, kind of. I'm not gonna lie, he just reminds me of the Lorax. I don't think anyone else has said that on any videos. I think it's just me. So maybe I'm the only one that thinks he looks like the Lorax, but he just looks like the Lorax to me, to be perfectly honest. The one on the left looks like the Lorax to me, lower left. And then the center one is the one that we've been zooming on the head for the whole time. And it turns out that we'll get to that in a second. So they're about to be executed when Hunter B-15 shows up, because Hunter B-15, I skipped a part there. Hunter B-15 goes to Sylvie, and she breaks her way in, essentially. And so she takes Sylvie to the supermarket, Roxxon, where Sylvie originally freed her memories unintentionally. And Sylvie tells her that she can't implant memories; she can only use what's already there. And so Hunter B-15 realizes that she's a variant. And kudos to that actor, because apparently those are real. It's raining, but apparently those are real tears that she was crying in the scene. So. Some good acting there. Good job. I don't know the name of the actress, but that was very good job. Excellent acting. Me saying good job really doesn't mean much, but you have my respect. That was really awesome. So she gets taken back. She takes Sylvie back, and then Ravonna comes in and sees Loki with her hair wet. Sees Sylvie with her hair wet. Which originally I thought, why doesn't she just pull a Loki and you know, dry herself off like she, or make herself look dry at least like Loki did in the supermarket episode, Roxxcart episode. Well, that's because she has different magic than Loki, and she actually doesn't know how to do that. So that's why, in case any of you thought that was a plot hole, I originally did too. And so Ravonna comes in and she sees that Sylvie's all wet, and so she asks who's come in here, and they said B-15's come in there. Ravonna puts out an alert for B-15 for everyone to find her. It says that B-15 has been compromised. So, also, if any of you were wondering why nobody in the TPA was questioning Mobius getting pruned or C-20 getting pruned or anyone else, it was because she'd come up with a narrative that Loki's had messed with their minds and made it so they were all corrupted. So she said B-15 was corrupted too. So that's the justification for there being little to no reaction from the TVA agents after Mobius getting pruned, or got pruned, or got killed. I'm not entirely sure. It seems like you get killed after you get pruned, but more of that later. Back to where we were before. They're all behind before the timekeepers for the execution. Hunter B-15 shows up, throws Sylvie her sword that was on the display case in Ravonna's room or office, whatever it is. So she throws her sword, and then she and Loki take turns swapping the swords and taking out all of the guards. Hunter B-15 also hits the button to remove their collars, so they're able to move around freely without Ravonna being able to control them. So they take out all the guards, an awesome fight and battle scene. Sylvie punches out Ravonna, knocks her to the ground unconscious. And then she decapitates the center timekeeper, the one in the middle, the head we've been zooming in on all season. Was not because it was Kang or anything like that, although we still have one episode left, so maybe it is Kang. Maybe the middle timekeeper is modeled after Kang. That's the other reason why we've been zooming in on the center timekeeper. Or maybe we've just been zooming on the center timekeeper after every episode, just because the center timekeeper was the one that's going to get decapitated. Anyway, he gets decapitated, and they look underneath, and realize they are all robots. And it's just robots. They're not real people. They're not, well, they're not people anyway. They're not real aliens. They are not time gods. They are just robots. And so they're kind of at a loss for words because their whole plan was to take down the timekeepers and overthrow the TVA, and they don't know who's behind the TVA. And so Loki tries to assure Sylvie that they're going to figure it out, and he goes to confess his love for Sylvie. And just as he's about to do it, and he talks about how this is new for him because Loki's never really had pure love before, he is pruned in the back by Ravonna. Ravonna pops up and prunes him, and he is seemingly dead. At this point, I realized, okay, so the pruning probably sends them somewhere because there's no way they're killing off Tom Hiddleston. He's the main character in the series, even though it's a series about Loki's, and it could just be about Sylvie now. But chances are Tom Hiddleston is going to, there's going to be a post-credit scene or something with Tom Hiddleston showing that he's okay. Anyway, so Sylvie fights off Ravonna, and then she gets hold of the pruning stick or whatever you want to call it. I think there was a name for it, actually. I'm just blanking on it right now. And basically tells her that Ravonna is going to tell her everything. So, Ravonna, so that's where you leave off in the episode. You're going to tell me everything. And then we cut through all of the credits, all of the long, long credits to Loki's post-credit scene, where we see Loki awakening in some sort of realm. I'm not entirely sure what that realm is. It looks like it's the place where all the prune things go. And standing above him are four variants, actually, if you're looking closely, of Loki. We have classic Loki, played by Richard E. Grant. So I was wrong. It seems like he's not playing He Who Remains, but that's yet to be seen. There's some theories out there. And he is playing classic Loki. And then there is Boastful Loki, I think it was, in the credits. There's Boastful Loki, and he welds a makeshift Mjolnir, and it's made out of, I think it's made out of like a wrench and a bunch of like machine parts. So that's interesting. I'm not really sure what the deal is with that one. And then there's Kid Loki, obviously, who I think we're all familiar with. And then there is Alligator Loki. I think he's just called Alligator Loki. That is a Loki, and he's an alligator, not a crocodile. He's a Loki Gator. And we like Loki Gator. It would be really cool if Loki Gator could talk. That would be hilarious. But he's probably just going to like make alligator sounds. Whatever sounds an alligator makes, I'm not entirely sure, but it's probably what we're going to say. Anyway, so we leave off on that. Let's go to the episode 5 recap right now, because we're doing a double episode series because my internet was down. So now, episode 5 recap. Go. So to recap episode 5, we open on this insane tracking shot. It goes through the TVA elevator doors. Honestly, when I was watching this, I felt physically sick to my stomach. It was nauseating, and I don't usually get nauseous. I don't get nauseous on like roller coasters or anything like that, but I really honestly felt nauseous just watching it. It was spinning and spinning and spinning. It was insane. And so it cuts the elevator doors to the chamber where the center timekeeper's head lays, and we zoom in on the center timekeeper's head. We zoom through the fog, and suddenly we are on this crazy detailed world where it's full of pruned buildings and people and items. And so we go through the buildings, and it's an overhead shot, and eventually we come down to where Loki is and where he woke up on this world, and where he is found by the other four Lokis. There are Alligator Loki, Boastful Loki, Kid Loki, and Classic Loki, played by Richard E. Grant. Classic Loki is being played by Richard D. Grant. He's not playing all three of them, just to clarify. And so they basically take him with them, tell him there's no time. He asks what's going on. Classic Loki says that's Eliath and where is lunch. Eliath is a character, is a big monster associated with Kang in the comics. He's the one that keeps Kang in check, but Kang finds a way to get rid of Eliath using Tempest, which is another creature in Marvel Comics, and that's how he's able to free himself and go and conquer his kingdom. So Loki, so we briefly cut to Sylvie, and we have Sylvie and Ravonna Renslayer, and they're kind of in a standoff here. And so Ravonna calls Miss Minutes, and together the two of them go through the files, and they try and stall Sylvie and trick her into accepting a plan in which the two of them will try and find who created the TVA together. And the whole time I was like, this has got to be a trap. And yes, they were just stalling for time, and they made up this whole thing about like there being a ship that can go into the end of time and rescue Loki. Anyway, long story short, the TVA burst in, and they corner Sylvie. Sylvie straps the temp pad to her waist, and she self-prunes herself. She self-pruned. So she prunes herself and gets sent to I guess we'll just call it the Void. I don't really have a name for it. Gets sent to the Void. So Loki is still in the dark, and he's asking them for help and asking them what's going on and starts screaming, which apparently attracts the attention of Eliath. We don't see it happen, but if he had kept shouting, apparently that would have attracted Eliath to them. They would have all gotten eaten. So Eliath is like this creature that feeds off of all the things in that void, and their whole mission is to run away from Eliath so they're not consumed. And so they have a hole deep underground, an underground lair. They go all the way down there, and it's like this nice little cave underneath. And there's a floorboard gag, and it's full of Easter eggs. There's Throg. There's reaching for a hammer. There's Throg in a jar, so it's Thor, but he's a frog. It's a funny it was a character in the comics. It was just really funny as Easter egg. I was laughing. They walk by a Thanos copter on their way to the base, which is hilarious. I'll probably go more into depth with that later, though. If I have the time, I just love the idea that there's a Thanos cop in the MCU that got pruned. Let's see. And Kid Loki, they find out what Kid Loki's Nexus event was that he killed Thor. And I think Eric Voss pointed this out, but I was also thinking this too before I watched the new Roger Dodge video. In Thor Ragnarok, Thor mentions that when they were both like 8, Loki had turned into a snake because he knew Thor was very interested in snakes, and turns into a snake. And so when Thor comes to go and look at the snake, Loki pops up and he transforms back into himself, and he's like, "Boo, it's me," and stabs Thor. And they were both 8 at the time. Apparently, I could try and do that in a Thor voice, but I'm not really gonna. You guys don't need any more cringe for right now. Maybe if I work on it later, I'll try and do that some other time. Maybe for Thor: Love and Thunder whenever that comes out in like 5 years. Let's see, where was I? So they go down to the base and they're telling stories about their Nexus events. Boastful Loki, he says that his Nexus event was that he got all 6 Infinity Stones and defeated Captain America. And Alligator Loki calls Boastful Loki out on his ridiculous claims. He's called Boastful Loki for a reason. And so Alligator Loki gets into a fight with Boastful Loki after Boastful Loki says, "Well, at least my Nexus event wasn't eating the wrong neighbor's cat," which I feel like could be a reference to I'm blanking on it now. I thought it was a reference to something at a time. I can't really remember what it was now, but I thought it was a reference to something else in Marvel Comics. Anyway, probably wasn't. It was just a joke, but thought it was funny. And it turns out, this is the big one, the classic Loki's Nexus event was that he hid his debris and cast an illusion so real that it looked like he was, that it fooled even the Mad Titan himself. And so he left Thor and everyone else behind and floated off into space disguised as a piece of debris, landed on a faraway planet, and then lived out his days there. Over time, he got old and he got lonely, and so eventually he started to plan a way to get off island. But as soon as he took the first steps to try and get, or not off island, off the planet, as soon as he took his first steps to try and get off the planet, the TVA showed up. Because Lokis are meant to lose or something, I think is what he said. And that's what the L stands for on Loki. He didn't say that. I said that. Loki, loser, same thing, really. But, you know, Lokis can win, too. And I think that's what the series is proving. Not all Lokis are losers. Lokis can change. Loki can be a different person. Loki can change. But right now it is time for hilarious gags, and Loki goes to leave. But first he tries to give them an inspiring speech to go help them kill Goliath. And they all sit down and laugh, which is, it's funny. It's kind of expectation subversion, but at this point it's also kind of expected. It's a little bit of a cliche, but it's a cliche dodge and a cliche at the same time. It's tricky, because if they were like, okay, let's do this, then that would be cliche. But they ended up laughing at it instead, which is also starting to become a cliche now because it's becoming so popular. So it really doesn't matter either way you go with it. It's going to be kind of a cliche. Anyway, it was fun. And so Loki pops up out of the hole, and waiting for him is an assortment of Lokis. They are all Loki variants, and it's hilarious. We have President Loki from the President Loki series, where Loki ran for president under the idea that he was I'm blanking on it now. I haven't read the series, but essentially he was able to that because he lied to them. That he should run for president. I'm not really entirely sure. I haven't read the series. I should probably read the President Loki series. Anyway, so there's President Loki, there's a bunch of other Lokis, and one of the Lokis is actually from the Lokis that we saw pruned that Mobius brought up earlier. And so it seems like Lokis are able to survive, and it seems like no one else has survived except our friend Mobius, my man Mobius. So he survives. He's driving like this big, this like pizza car. It's got this big It's got this pizza on a spring on top. And so, Sylvie wakes up and she's inside this, sorry about that. So she's inside a car. She wakes up and Mobius, and she's surrounded by the big purple fog of Goliath. And Mobius drives around with his car. She hops in, they take off. Sound effects were not needed there. I don't know why I did that. Meanwhile, Loki and the others Loki and the others are cornered because the other Lokis have found their secret den, and classic Loki and Kid Loki and Alligator Loki all blame our Loki. This is getting convoluted. You kind of have to see it because the way I'm talking about it is really, really difficult. So our Loki, main Loki, is blamed for it, and then boastful Loki reveals that he himself was the one that led them to their base so that he could be king, and so he betrayed Kid Loki, who was their king, because they all served him because he killed Thor. Let's see. Holy cow. This is convoluted. So then President Loki betrays boastful Loki and gives him and double crosses him, and then he says the trail line that we've all seen. Well, what did you expect? And then all of his men turn on him, and it's just kind of, and then it just turns into an all-out brawl. And so classic Loki conjures up perfect replicas of Kid Loki, Alligator Loki, and Main Loki, as well as Classic Loki, and they all and then forms a way for them to escape, forms like this portal. So Classic Loki, when he was alone on the planet for however long he was there, thousands of years, was able to perfect his magic, and he explains to them that you're limited, that they live it, they're limiting themselves with daggers, that they can accomplish so much more if they don't try and use daggers limit them, is basically what he's saying. And Classic Loki himself does not use daggers, so he conjures up perfect replicas of them, and they all escape through a green portal. And they're up on a hillside. They see the car, and they plan to go kill Eliath, basically, by coming around back and stabbing him. They watch a ship full of sailors get devoured by Eliath, and they all kind of collectively I don't know if I can say this on podcast. So they get very scared, to put it lightly. And then they hear a car coming, and Classic Loki says that if it's a car, it's usually cannibals, which is dark and very strange. Are the cannibals Loki? Are those cannibals also Loki variants? Are they? I have so many questions. Anyway, so it turns out it is Mobius and Sylvie, and they're in the car. They pull up. Sylvie pops out. By the way, part I missed before, when they're back in their den before Loki went out and ended up bringing all of the President Loki and all of his men inside, he tells them that he met a female version of Loki, and Classic Loki says that sounds horrifying. And yeah, it's hilarious, because Sylvie's the most cunning out of all of them, really. And so Sylvie appears, and she ridicules them for their plan being to stab it to death, and so she plans to enchant it, because when she was being chased by the fog, she accidentally brushed it with her magic, and she saw into the end of time where it was being controlled, that little lighthouse, that station at the end of time, which is based off of where He Who Remains created the TVA in the comics. So we don't, it seems like most likely that's going to be what it is in here, but we're not in theory territory right now, we're in recap territory. So Sylvie lets them in on her plan to enchant it, and so Loki is going to distract Eliath while Sylvie enchants it from behind, and Kid Loki gives Loki, this is very convoluted, Kid Loki gives Main Loki, our Loki, a flaming sword to use, or dagger, more like, which is strictly going against Classic Loki's advice about not using daggers. But Loki's have a love for daggers, so he ends up going with a flaming dagger to distract Eliath. Mobius goes back into the TVA, and he thanks Loki for giving him a spark, which is a reference back to the earlier line when Loki first enters the TVA and he says, "I'm going to burn this place to the ground." Mobius, this is actually a throwback that might actually come into the finale, but Mobius mentions there was a specific department that he wanted to help him burn to the ground. It's like human resources or something like that. Something like that, like records. I think it might have been records or something like that. He joked that he would help him burn him to the ground. Anyway, so it's a reference to that exchange. And he thanks Loki for giving him the spark to be able to burn down the TVA and free everyone inside. So Loki and Sylvie head off on their plan. It fails miserably. Loki waves his fiery dagger. Eliath goes after him initially, and then ends up going after Sylvie after he realizes that she has magic, and magic is nice, and he likes to eat magic. And then he is distracted by Classic Loki with this awesome, awesome music, which is a combination of Ride of the Valkyries and some original score. It is amazing music. Super epic. And Classic Loki constructs the entire city of Asgard down to the most minute detail. It is insane and a true showcase of how much power Loki has, that they're more powerful than they thought. Lokis are immensely powerful. So it was just crazy and insane and awesome. And so classic Loki gives up his life and distracts Eliath by putting up the entire city of Asgard for Eliath to eat. And Eliath finally goes after, finally breaks down Asgard and goes after classic Loki. He eats classic Loki. He consumes classic Loki, leaving only his charred helmet behind. Rest in peace, classic Loki. There's a slight chance he might still be alive, but that's a very unlikely theory that I'm actually probably going to go into later on the podcast here. So we'll talk about that later. And then Sylvie and Loki together enchant Eliath. Loki figures out that he can use magic. He uses his magic, and together they enchant Eliath and destroy him. He dissipates into green smoke, and then he dissipates into nothing, and they're left standing by a giant hole into the end of time, where they see a giant castle on a rock with light at the very top of it, and this is He Who Remains' lair. Now, there are several different ways that this could go, and we're going to talk about this later, but it's almost certainly He Who Remains in some form or some way. It could be Immortus, which is a version of Kang that is translated into, that is kind of mixed up with the character He Who Remains and kind of combined into that. The character that controls that creates and controls the TVA is going to be based off of or combined with He Who Remains in some way if it's not He Who Remains. So it's going to combine with that character at the very least. So this is He Who Remains as a lair. Whether or not it's Kang or Miss Minutes, which we're going to go into later, don't worry. I fully intend to. It's based off of He Who Remains as a lair. So don't get mad at me, don't at me. It's based off of He Who Remains as a lair in the comics, taken from it directly. So, and it's not Doom, by the way. I'll talk about it later. Anyway, so this was our recap for Loki episode 5 right there. So now let's get into theory territory. And we have arrived at the segment where we will put in our theories. And my theories and my bets, no actual money is going into this. But I have a couple good guesses. So if you've listened to this podcast, you know that I am I'm very suspicious about Miss Minutes. Miss Minutes was featured very prominently on a lot of posters for Loki, and she's shown up maybe 5 minutes total in the whole show, in the whole 5 hours that we've had so far. A very, very nominal, tiny role. And I don't think she'd be featured so prominently on the Loki official posters for Loki. It was a surprise to see her on those posters because we didn't think she'd be that big of a character in this, and so far she hasn't. So it stands to reason that she's got to show up in the she's obviously going to show up in the finale. It's just in what form. Will she be the big bad? Will she be like a minion of the big bad? Will she be some form of AI? Is the whole TVA just inside Miss Minutes? There's a lot of crazy things out there, but the biggest indicator for me is the fact that we keep seeing that red Miss Minutes in the end credits. And I know I keep harping on this and going over this. That is going to be major later. It's going to be major. It's going to be huge. And I can't say that enough. And I thought maybe I'm just being crazy about this, and it's a little like cool little detail they put in for the end credits just to kind of, you know, catch your eye and be like, oh yeah, that's Miss Minutes, little cartoon character. But then Marvel Studios and Disney Plus both released a new poster featuring the Timekeepers and a new image of the red version of Miss Minutes. So a new poster for Loki featuring the Timekeepers and the red version of Miss Minutes. And again, I don't want to get all Mephisto on you. And most people are going towards Kang for the big bad in this series, which I do see, and there are several things pointing to that, from Ravona Renslayer to Eliath. And I'm going to get into Kang theories later. This is my favorite theory. I really want it to be Miss Minutes because it would satisfy me to no end, and I would never stop bragging about it because I have a massive ego and I am a horrible person. Also, it would just be really fun. It would be really awesome if it did turn out to be Miss Minutes. And there has, I mean, there, at this point, there has to be, she has to show up in her red evil, or, I mean, I'm just assuming it's evil because red means bad, obviously. That's probably colorist? I don't know. Is there a word for that? Anyway, so it seems to me like there's obviously a red form of Miss Minutes, and we have to see that in this series, even if it's just a post-credits scene, which I really hope it isn't, but even if it is just a post-credits scene, it's confirmation that my theory is correct. There's Miss Minutes has a part to play in this, and her true version is the red version that we see. There's more things stringing this together on my crazy conspiracy board over here. When you see the timekeepers, there are like these strange rune-looking things behind them. Those runes, and I think those runes, they're not actual magical runes like we see Wanda use in WandaVision. They are, I think they're just part of the show, you know, with the whole animatronic thing that they have going on with the timekeepers there to make them look flashy. But, and this could entirely be a coincidence, the red behind the timekeepers, there's like, it's red light that makes up the runes. That red is the same exact color as the red Miss Minutes. And on the poster that the red version of Miss Minutes is featured in, with the timekeepers, they are framed behind that red, those red runes that are the exact same color as Miss Minutes, as red Miss Minutes. So a lot of these things are adding up. Every time I see a little bit of red, red energy, red something, I kind of think, oh, red Miss Minutes, because that's become my private Mephisto that nobody else, and I mean literally nobody else on the internet, and I've been looking, has seemed to pick up on or be really theorizing on. And I've been looking. I seem to be the only one who's thinking red Miss Minutes. When Judge Renslayer is talking to Hunter B-15, and yes, I know her name now, in that cell, the cell that she's being kept in is using red energy to contain her. And for example, also, when Loki is being thrown into that that bad memory loop, it's also the portal, instead of it being the usual orange that we see, like the orange Miss Minutes, it's the red. It's the same red as the red Miss Minutes. So do I think it's the same person? I don't think there are two Miss Minutes necessarily, but I think it might be a different feature of Miss Minutes, or maybe a defensive mode, or an offensive mode. I don't know, either way. It might be a mode that Miss Minutes goes into, or maybe the red Miss Minutes is behind all of it. And she's running the whole thing, and she's in that weird castle that we see at the end of the episode, that we said at the end of episode 5. Maybe it is Miss Minutes all along. That would be awesome. It would be hilarious. I think a lot of people would be upset about it because they seem to want Kang, which, to be perfectly honest, I'm not really, I'd be okay with it. It'd be cool, I guess. I'm not necessarily expecting it. Marvel did a similar thing with WandaVision when they took they took all of these hints and all of these things and hid them in the series pointing to Mephisto, and they hid all of these things so it would perfectly lead up to Mephisto, and then they gave us Agatha, which, I mean, she was okay, and they gave us I think my brain is actually, like, my brain is at this point where it's blocking it out. It's something, Ralph Boner. That's it. The Boner joke, yeah. I'm never forgiving Marvel for that ever. In my opinion, that was the WandaVision finale was the worst thing Marvel has ever produced, and not because of the whole Mephisto thing. I really, when people say that, it annoys me, because it would have been, it was, even if it did have Mephisto in that episode, it still would have been a bad episode. It just made no sense in so many ways, like in the fight. Okay. I really need to stop doing this. We're not talking about WandaVision. I don't know why I keep going back to WandaVision and talking about how much I hated the finale. I really need to stop that. I really do. Okay. Miss Minutes. Back on track. I am so sorry. I might just cut that whole thing right there. Maybe not, depending on how much time I have to edit this. Anyway, so Miss Minutes is her red mode, her evil mode, or maybe her true form. Red Miss Minutes is going to show up in the series somehow. May even be the main villain, or she could be the minion of He Who Remains. And so when Loki asks her, are you a recording or are you alive? And she answers sort of both. It's because she's present in both times. She's present at the end of time and in the current time that they're living, that they're in. So to the end of time, she's a recording, but in the current time that they're in, that Loki is in, she's alive. So at the same time, she's simultaneously both a recording and alive, which is what she means by sort of both. That's my theory on that for the answer to that. I think she could be a minion of He Who Remains, kind of to watch over the TVA and run the animatronics. And she's able to seamlessly jump in between computers and electronics and things like that to the real world, and having this weird like holographic shape. Also, there are buttons for Miss Minutes all over the TVA, on all of the temp pads, there's buttons for Miss Minutes. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised, and this isn't a plot hole at all, but like if I was Sylvie... And again, Sylvie was on the run, so she wasn't really having time to mess around with the temp pad so much, and she had her whole plan of bombing the Sacred Timeline. But I would have just, after years of collecting temp pads, I would just be like, there's that Miss Minutes button right there. Let's just tap that to see what happens. Maybe she did, and maybe we'll find out in the finale. But if she didn't, I get why she wouldn't do that, because for all we know, that could be a beacon saying, hey, come get me, TVA, I'm right here. And she's not really looking to take any chances. So again, it's not a plot hole, but if I was Sylvie, I probably would have done that just cause I'm curious. Usually too curious for my own good. So I think Red Miss Minutes absolutely going to show up either in a post-credit scene or in the finale in some form. Miss Minutes has to play a bigger role in the series, or there's no way she would have been featured so prominently in the marketing, and there has to be something involving the red version of Miss Minutes. So she's absolutely going to show up in the finale, 100%. And if I am, when I do the after show for the finale, if I'm eating my words and she doesn't show up at all or is nowhere relevant, and they just randomly made posters with Red Miss Minutes and randomly put Red Miss Minutes into the after credits, I am probably going to lose my mind. I'm not going to hate the finale. Even if it's not what I wanted, I won't hate the finale. I don't think I'll be a fan of it if they suddenly drop all logic and reason, like they did with WandaVision and some other shows. I won't hate the finale, even if it isn't what I wanted. I won't hate it. I only hate finales when they drop all logic and reason and characters start doing random things that's completely out of character for them, and the whole thing just changes because it's the finale and they feel the need to wrap it up. That's when I get problems, which is what happened with WandaVision. So... I'm looking forward to this finale 100%. I'm not worried about it, because Loki so far has been awesome and amazing, and crazy and bonkers and insane, and I actually, and this is kind of leading to the next theory. I was really, really skeptical in episode 4 when we saw the post-credit scene with classic Loki. I was not a fan in any way, shape, or form. I really, really hated it. And I know a lot of people were excited about classic Loki, and I talked about it earlier in my podcast about how I was hesitant about there being an old man Loki, and I was like, oh, Richard E. Grant's playing an old man Loki, oop-de-doo, what fun. He actually killed it in that role, though. Episode 5, amazing. I actually have grown to I like the character. I like what Richard E. Grant did in excellent acting, and the character was very well written, and I actually went from kind of hating the character and thinking it was stupid to really liking it. So kudos to you, Marvel. You definitely changed my mind on that one. I am now a fan of classic Loki there, and there's a theory out there. It wasn't necessarily created by me, but I'm tweaking it, and I'm changing it based off of my own ideas and what I think is going to happen, how it's going to fit in better. So in the finale, we see a couple pieces when they defeat Eliath, and you see that whole you see pieces of debris floating by the big castle at the end of time, which is the Watchtower. It's based off of the it's not Castle Doom or anything like that. It's based off of the He Who Remains little like Watchtower or observatory. Whatever you want to call it, at the end of time, where he creates the TVA, where he creates it and where he runs it, He Who Remains. So it's literally taken from the comics, but people, because it's a castle, people are like, oh, it's castle, it's Doom, Doom. Doom was never once mentioned, never once hinted, but he's going to be the big bad of the series somehow. So if you guys are expecting it to be Doom, I'm sorry. There's currently not an actor cast for Doom. There is only the Fantastic Four title announced. They don't even have a title for the movie. They don't have any actors cast. John Krasinski needs to play Mr. Fantastic. Reed Richards needs to be John Krasinski. You want me to play Johnny Storm? I will gladly play Johnny Storm. I'm getting off track. It's not going to be Doom. I'm sorry. They're not introducing Doom in the MCU right now. It's not going to be Doom. I'm really sorry. There's no precedent. You need the Victor Von Doom does not exist yet in the MCU. And if they're going to do the character justice, this is not the way to do it. So no, it's not going to be Doom. Just because it's a castle doesn't mean it's Doom. Kang is another viable option, but the one we're focusing on right now is whether or not classic Loki is actually He Who Remains. And so there's a theory out there that the debris floating by the castle is classic Loki pulling his trick, which was his classic trick from classic Loki on how he escaped Thanos. He cast a projection so real that it fooled even the Titan himself. And so he was able to float away as part of debris and live on a planet, isolated away from everything. But as soon as he, as soon as he went to make his move to get off the planet, the TVA came after him. So, could be a similar thing here. He could have disguised himself as debris and sent a projection of himself so real that it even fooled the purple gas fog known as Eliath, which actually is a very surprisingly comic-accurate comic-to-screen adaption of Eliath. Eliath looks exactly like that in the comics, which is great job with that. usually you're not excited to see a big purple fog character in superhero movies, but because usually it means they butchered it from the comics like they did with Galactus and turned Galactus into a big purple fog, or in Green Lantern when they turned I don't even remember his name. I haven't seen Green Lantern forever. But they turned the big bad villain into a big fog. So that's not Marvel falling into cliche tropes. That's actually what the character looks like in the comics, almost identical. Obviously they had to change it a tiny bit so it looked real, but it's almost exactly taken out of the comics. So kudos to Marvel for doing that. It's not a cliche for any of you guys who thought it was. Eliath is a real character and he's associated with Kang. So the thing with classic Loki is he could have floated off as that piece of debris, and he could float back to the castle, take his place, and then reveal himself as Richard E. Grant, the old classic Loki playing He Who Remains. Now, if it is He Who Remains, then if Richard E. Grant is playing He Who Remains, and it He Who Remains turns out to be Classic Loki, and it's Classic Loki that's running the TVA, it would certainly be a twist. I don't know if it would be the most fulfilling twist, and I really don't see how Red Miss Minutes could play into that. I don't know if I'd like that, but it's certainly an option. It's definitely an out there theory, but it could be interesting to see. It'd be very interesting to see what they would do with that. So that's the theory that's out there, and I'm just trying to go through all the possibilities that are even remotely possible. So again, some of these are going to be pretty out there, but I'm just trying to cover all the bases so I can say that I was right when the finale comes around. All right, so moving on to the next one, and the most popular, Kang is behind the TVA. And to be perfectly honest, I gotta say this one makes the most sense. The one I would like to see most is Miss Minutes behind the TVA. But Kang does make the most sense, and even though actor Jonathan Majors has said several times that he doesn't know anything about being in Loki or anything like that, Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire said the same thing about being in Spider-Man No Way Home. So, speaking of which, we need the trailer for that, like, soon. Please, sometime, Marvel. Anyway, I still think they're probably waiting for Loki to finish to release the trailer. Anyway, I forget who's cast as She-Hulk, but anyway, actors have a long-running history of saying, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not cast in anything in Marvel, or I'm not doing that project. I don't know what you're talking about. And then two episodes later, oh, look, she popped up in that, or he popped up in that, or it turns out they actually were in that project. So I don't take Jonathan Majors' word with a grain of salt. Maybe he isn't. He is absolutely going to be an Ant-Man Quantumania as Kang the Conqueror. And it would be very interesting to see how they maybe they introduce him here in the series. And let's see. So Kang would he has many forms in the comics. So he's basically this time traveler who from I want to say it's like the 2130 or something like that. He's from far in the future, but essentially his whole thing is that he is the emperor of time, and he creates his own world Chronopolis, and he collects the greatest marvels of history. Yes, Marvel, haha, that wasn't intentional. So sorry for the bad pun. And so he collects all the great wonders throughout history and puts them into his own little ideal city, and so he kind of creates his own time empire. And that's called Chronopolis. And it was actually theorized to be seen. We see a big city in Ant-Man and the Wasp in the Quantum Realm. And so people are thinking that could be Chronopolis. And that would make the most sense for that to be Chronopolis because Kang is going to show up in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. So it would make more sense if he was in the previous installment than in, like, Loki. So it would make more sense. And some people are saying that I think they just called it the Void. The Void that Sylvie and Loki are the place people are sent to when they get pruned. They're saying that's Chronopolis. It's not. That is not Chronopolis. If you've read the comics or you know anything about Chronopolis or Kang, it's not that. Or if you've ever played, Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, which I haven't, but I know vaguely about that. It's set in Chronopolis. Anyway, that's actually the secret to Loki. You've got to play. I'm not even going to go with that joke. But yes, so Kang is a time emperor, basically, and he's obsessed with perfecting the time stream so it's perfect for him to conquer and take what he wants at will, kind of like how the TVA agents take food and things that were pruned, like Boku fruit juice that you see Mobius drinking, and different and different foods and things that you see them eating in the TVA. There's a bunch of Easter eggs. You want to look at Easter eggs, go to the New Rockstars channel. They do a great job of pointing out all the Easter eggs. I'm not an Easter egg. I do Easter eggs, but I don't do necessarily all the little details. I do things that relate to the plot. Whether or not they're sipping Boku fruit juice isn't really going to affect the plot, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, so it's similar to what Kang does, except he, you know, steals entire empires, and that's slightly different from a pack of juice. So, or, I don't know, whatever you call them, where you're from, pack of juice, juice box, whatever you call them. So Kang is associated with Eliath. Eliath was Kang's enemy in the comics. And essentially he was stopping Kang from going out in and conquering. He was the thing holding Kang back. And Kang uses this other thing called Tempest to basically hold them back, and then the two of them are locked in battle forever. Which was kind of similar to the two characters in Norse mythology, and they were locked in constant. Anyway, that's not important. But yeah, so they're essentially locked in constant battle. We haven't seen that, but they did destroy Eliath, or seemingly destroy him. I don't really know what the deal is with that. It seemed like they destroyed him. He dissipated. The fog went away, and it seems like maybe they freed Kang, and now Kang is free to come out of the escape the castle at the end of time. And go out and wreak havoc in Ant-Man Quantumania. There's another theory out there, and this one would involve Kang, that the TVA is inside the Quantum Realm. And then that's why it could be Kang here. I only have one problem with that. Sure, I think the TVA could be inside the Quantum Realm. Absolutely, sure, that would be a crazy bonkers thing, but I could totally see that. However, I couldn't see, it wouldn't really make much sense for it to be inside the quantum realm if Kang was at the end of time, because Kang's whole thing is that he lives in the quantum realm, not at the end of time. So it's a little iffy. Maybe he goes and lives in the quantum realm after he's freed from the end of time, but it's one of the biggest issues with the Kang theory, in my opinion. I do think Kang, the whole Kang theory is very likely. Ravonna Renslayer, that character is basically, it's a love interest for Kang, Ravonna Renslayer. So the fact that they use that character to be one of the main characters in the series says a lot about it possibly being Kang. So again, it's not Mephisto. There are actual characters and things that are associated with these guys, almost pretty much solely. Ravonna Renslayer is basically just a love interest to Kang. So the fact that they're introducing these things, it seems like they're setting up Kang. Thematically, it would make sense. Another theory that's really popular out there is King Loki. I'm sorry. This is just... No. So the whole theory is that because there's a trailer shot that we haven't seen in the series yet of... Loki sitting on a throne that looks almost identical to Asgard, but the throne is different. It's made with snakes, and like a snake design instead of Odin's throne where he's got his ravens. And so based off of that one trailer shot, everyone is saying, oh man, King Loki is ruling the TVA. And that is somehow just as popular as the Kang theory. And this is how I can't say how stupid this is to me. I'm really sorry. If you're a big fan of the King Loki thing, it's nothing against you. It's one trailer shot, and if you look at the context of what the series, the whole thing about the series is that Loki, it doesn't matter who you are in the quote-unquote sacred timeline, you can be whoever you want to be. You can be someone good, as Mobius said. Maybe even someone good, you know? You know, just in case anyone ever told you different. So the whole series is kind of leading up to Loki being able to change and not go back to who he is. And so if you look at this, he's going to be confronting the person who controls the sacred timeline. So it would make most sense. And we also see a shot of him in Avengers Tower. So he's going to revisit some memories here. Or an alternate timeline. So what I think is he's going to be offered this spot in the sacred timeline if he just leaves, if he just, you know, agrees to get his mind wiped or whatever and re-enter the sacred timeline. They can forge a new spot for him on the sacred timeline, just like they've apparently done with other people. You can forge new spots on the sacred timeline. It can be rewritten so that you get your spot on the sacred timeline. So Loki will be offered this spot on the sacred timeline. He could rule Asgard on his throne, his modified throne, on Asgard. So he would have that snake throne. He would win the Battle of New York, and he would lead the life that he'd always wanted. But he's going to turn it down for a life with Sylvie and to defeat the TVA and destroy it once and for all and to free everyone from the reign of the TVA. And so that is character arc. That is a character arc. That is character change and character development right there. That is what it's going to be used for. That is what those trailer shots are. That is thematic. That is a beautiful theme that has been carrying out throughout the series, and this is the high note that they're going to hit it off on. And so, if you just look at the theme of the series, it's clear what the whole King Loki thing is, and this is why I'm debunking it right now for you guys, so you don't get your hopes up. Hopefully you listen to this before episode 6 comes out, so you don't get your hopes up about King Loki, because this is almost 100% what it is. There's a very, very, very small chance that it actually is King Loki. I would be so disappointed if it was, because these trailer shots seem to be part of the whole thematic. You change is possible, and you can be anyone you want to be. And it's very powerful, Loki turning it down the life that he always wanted to be a hero, finally. So that is... Those are really our theories for what we have so far. As for candidates to be the big bad in the series finale. And there are a bunch of other theories out there. I mean, too many to cover, you know, but these I think are the most possible and I think the most likely to happen. I just had to cover the King Loki one because I didn't want anyone getting their hopes up. And we'll continue with this podcast right after this ad break. And we are back. Thanks for sitting through those ads. Really helps to support us and really helps us with this podcast, so we're able to produce it and find all these things for you guys that you weren't able to find and try and predict the show and where it'll go. I'm going to be doing a after show or review. I'm going to be doing a movie review, the first one on the channel for Black Widow, which recently came out and I saw on the 9th. It was so good. I had some problems with it. I had some things that I absolutely loved. And we are going to talk about that in the movie review. I'm going to try and edit that and have that out sometime soon. It's definitely going to be after the Loki episode 6 after show. So wait for it. It'll be out soon and look out for it because it is coming. And I'm going to try and do movie reviews for all of the upcoming MCU projects. Obviously, the ones that I'm most excited for are Thor: Love and Thunder, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Spider-Man: No Way Home, and Hawkeye. Hawkeye I'll be excited for. And I might even be excited for She-Hulk, depending on whether or not they're going to make She-Hulk go woke too, just like they did with Falcon and Winter Soldier. Or they could have it be a legitimately interesting series involving, you know, all of the forgotten MCU big bads going on trial, which would be really cool. Obviously not all of them, because Dormammu is not going to be on trial, but people like Abomination, who we actually saw in the Shang-Chi trailer, people like that, that's what's rumored to be going on in She-Hulk, to be each episode is basically a trial for each of these bad guys. And then it's also rumored that possibly John Walker is going to show up in this as and he got hit going on trial, and it's going to end with all of them getting recruited to the Thunderbolts, possibly. That's the theory that's out there. Again, we really don't have details for She-Hulk, but if that is what it turns out to be, I would be super excited for that because that would be awesome. I'm always down for some more John Walker stuff. If you know, I don't agree with everything he does, but overall, I'm a big fan of U.S. Agent. And don't get mad at me. I mean, you can. It's free country, you know? Or, well, I have listeners all over the world, which is amazing and really, really cool. It's actually really awesome that you guys are listening, and I don't just have U.S. listeners. Thank you to everyone who's listening all over the world. I know I have listeners in Germany, and I really suck at pronouncing things, so I'm sorry. Uzbekistan, I'm not really sure how to pronounce that. Really not trying to be ignorant or hurt your feelings, anyone. But I do look at my analytics and I see I have viewers from all over the world, Canada, Germany, Europe. I mean, most of the countries in Europe, most of the countries in Asia, in Africa. I have at least one or two listeners in most of the major countries around the world, which is insane and so cool. The majority of my listeners are from the U.S., so all of you guys, U.S., you know. But it's super cool to me that I have listeners all over the world. And I'm actually a little curious about that. Tell me, and you can leave audio messages on my podcast. If you go to Anchor, you can leave audio messages for me. Is this podcast translated into English? Is this podcast translated into your native language, or is it in English? And do you guys speak English? Because that's if it is translated, that's really cool. And if you guys speak English, that's awesome. Kudos to you guys for learning English. It's a really strange language. So let's get back to Loki. Loki is it's an awesome series, and I've had so much fun watching the series and reacting to it, and it's had so many crazy moments from Throg, which is the frog version of Thor, and making little cameos. It's just, and from like Throg to the Thanos copter in episode 5, the series it's hilarious. The Thanos copter was an actual thing in the comics. It was this big yellow obnoxious helicopter that Thanos rode, and it was ridiculous. And I am just, it was hilarious because I was watching the episode and I saw the Thanos copter and I just lost my mind because, number one, it's really cool that they shouted that out from the comics because there was a lot of people talking about that. And it was a big meme, and so it was just really funny to me. And also the fact that the TVA went out of their way to prune that. They saw Thanos building a helicopter and they were like, what is Thanos doing? No, we can't have that on the sacred timeline. So they go over and immediately prune Thanos, the entire Thanos timeline where he builds a helicopter and puts his name on it. And I'm just thinking of Thanos just wearing like jean overalls and like a white tank top or something. I don't know what is it called, a tank top? If it's a guy wearing it, I'm not sure if it's called a tank top. Anyway, like a sleeveless white t-shirt and jeans and like a yellow hard hat and like maybe some like little like wire ribbed glasses, just, you know, song and building his helicopter and, you know, painting Thanos on it. And then the TVA just shows up out of nowhere and prunes him and the Thanos copter and the entire timeline. It's strange, it's wacky, and it's Loki. The series is strange, it's wacky, it's hilarious, and you never know what's coming next. And I am so incredibly excited for the finale. I can't even express in words. It's going to be insane. No matter who the big bad is, whether it's he who remains, Animus Minutes is his puppet, or whether and that's that like operates for him in the timeline, and is kind of like his little minion, or whether it's Miss Minutes controlling it all, or whether it's Kang, or in the rare event that's King Loki, I'm gonna enjoy it. Because it's been a great series, and unlike WandaVision, it is not a limited-run series, so it's almost certain that we're getting a season 2, and this has absolutely been the best Marvel Disney Plus show on the platform, way better than Falcon and Winter Soldier, way better than WandaVision, and I loved WandaVision, most of WandaVision. I love most of WandaVision. The finale I didn't like, the rest of it was great. I loved all of Loki, even the third episode, where they were trapped on that planet and after they'd left us on a cliffhanger, a lot of people didn't like it. It was filler. It was absolutely filler, but it gave us a look at the relationship between Sylvie and Loki and gave us a lot of lore about how they use their magic and all sorts of interesting stuff. And It was definitely the worst episode of Loki we've ever had, and it was still great, which is saying something, because it's the worst episode of the entire series, and it's still an outstanding TV episode. It's an awesome episode, and it's probably the worst in the series. And if that episode is the worst in your series, you know you have an absolutely amazing TV show going on. And I never thought this would be my favorite Marvel Disney Plus show. I never thought this was going to be the one I was excited for. This was actually the one I was least excited for, because I thought it was just going to be Loki, and I honestly wasn't a big fan of Loki. I didn't like the character. I didn't think it was funny. I know there are a lot of Loki stands out there, so don't get mad at me. I really there's really no need to get mad at me. But that's just my opinion. I wasn't really a huge fan of him, and the series rolled around, and this series has been amazing. It's got Owen Wilson in it, and I am I don't know much about the actor Owen Wilson, but I do love his work. He's a very talented actor. I love Wes Anderson is my favorite director, and so he's been in a lot of Wes Anderson films, and that's how I know him. Owen Wilson was also kind of my childhood, because I grew up watching Cars and a bunch of stuff like that. So it's just really cool to see the kind of to have been growing up and see a lot of the movies that I've grown up with have had Owen Wilson in them. And as I grow up and I get older, I'm seeing more things, and the things that, like, even Marvel, he's showing up in Marvel, he's showing up in Wes Anderson films. Owen Wilson has been a constant throughout my life so far. And so, again, I really know nothing about the guy himself, so I might not even like the actor Owen Wilson, but his acting is amazing. He's an amazing actor. I don't know much about him himself, though. So I might not like the guy, but I do like his work, and he has done an amazing job as Mobius. Mobius is my favorite character in this series, and you can get mad at me all you want. Loki he's cool. Sylvie is cool. Mobius, he's my man. He is my man, Mobius, and I was really heartbroken when they killed him off, seemingly, and then they, zapped Tom Hiddleston. I was like, oh, okay, well, Mobius is going to be fine then. He has to be fine, because Tom Hiddleston is not going to die in this series. Although it would be crazy if he did. Anyway, Mobius is absolutely my favorite character, and I am I'm just really enjoying the series. There haven't really been any major plot holes that I can find. I'm sure there's like one or two somewhere, but you'd have to really look for them, and I have been really looking for them, and I can't find them. I am just overall super happy with this series. Marvel knocked this one out of the park, and I will be super excited for a season 2. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time. See you in the Loki finale. So excited. Thanks for listening.